we go. So, got the audio hooked up now. We'll start with the course info. Official course description looks something like this. Basically, what we're going to do is take undergrad dynamics and extend it into three dimensions. Pretty much everything you work in undergraduate dynamics are planar problems. So our world obviously doesn't work that way. So kind of it's all about extending that into three dimensions. And then also working with non-inertial reference frames, which is something that most undergraduate dynamics classes don't get to. There is some orbital mechanics stuff that we'll touch on tangentially. We won't really address that directly for the most part. And then we are going to computer applications. We will be doing dynamic simulations and things like that with the software package we'll talk about in a second. And basically, this boils down to how do we take systems of interest and write the dynamics for them, write the equations of motion, simulate those systems. Okay. You're here, so you figured out where the time was. Our book is a book called Engineering Dynamics by a professor from Georgia Tech called Jerry Ginsberg, who's actually taught me this class in the follow-up graduate vibrations class of this course. Class website, I do not have set office hours. I'm here basically all the time. So just come by. I may ask you, say, hey, can you come back in an hour? Let me finish what I'm working on right now. But just knock on the door. The door will be closed, most likely. The location of my office, people will come and look over my shoulder for 5 minutes before they say anything, which is a little creepy. So I keep my door closed. But just knock. The door is figuratively open, even if it's literally closed. So we'll go that. It's worked out pretty well in my time here. What we're going to cover in this class, chapter one, which we'll complete today, actually, is largely a review of notation and Newton's laws. Chapter two, which we may get to be able to start today, is all about particle kinematics. So how do we describe the location velocity of particles, irrespective of what forces are actually acting on them? Chapter three is relative motion, extending that into moving reference frames. Then we get into the kinematics of rigid bodies. So basically, all this initial stuff builds up to chapter four. And chapter 5 and 6 ties all the kinematic stuff together, starting to do Newtonian kinetics. So then we start to worry about forces and moments. Right. We extend that out to analytical methods, the Lagrangian, in chapters 7 and 8. And then methods probably most of you haven't heard of, actually, such as Kane's method using the Hamiltonian instead of the Lagrangian, some alternate formulations of these analytical methods. Kane, in particular, is pretty useful for doing this stuff computationally. Let's set up for that. Questions about that so far? Throughout the entire semester, feel free to stop me at any time. We're obviously a small group. I want the lectures to be more of a conversation between us. I'm here, and we'll get to this in a little bit. I'm here to help you learn. I can't just impart the knowledge on you and just can't impute knowledge to you. Right? It's up to you guys to learn it. It's particularly true for graduate classes. So if you're just starting out as a graduate student, you need to learn more than I'm able to teach in lecture effectively. Right. That goes for your research as well. Right. So that's our material. We'll have tentative schedule looks something like this. You see, we're going to get through chapter one today and start on chapter two and get through it pretty quickly. It's just largely a review of coordinate frames and how to transfer from one to the other, those kind of things. Then we'll move into the more detailed kinematics and things like that later. We'll have our first midterm October 9th. It's actually the Tuesday after fall break. That kind of falls maybe at a bad time after break, but I'm actually going to be in China this week. So you'll have a proctor in here for that day, and then we'll do a video lecture on the 11th. I'm invited to give a lecture series at a university in China this fall. So we'll make sure you're well prepared heading into that, and then you'll have an exam period with someone else just kind of sitting in, making sure you guys aren't cheating in here. We'll go about another month, have a second midterm, and then our final is early in the morning on Thursday, the 6th of December. We'll have a couple of mini projects worked in there. We'll talk about those in just a second. So questions about the schedule? There's going to be at least one other week, just to kind of give you a heads up, coming pretty soon. This week, 11th and 13th, we'll also do video lectures then. Some travel for a student project team that I supervise. Be out in the desert in Nevada. So I'll get you links to those in advance of that. Watch those videos. It probably won't be a full lecture. It'll probably be broken into 10 or 15 minute chunks. So it'll be more than two videos. It'll be several. Okay. Course tools and resources. I mentioned we're going to do some simulation of the systems. We're going to use Python. In particular, this Anaconda Python distribution will have basically everything you need to get rolling. And a lot of that will come through use of this tool called the Jupyter Notebook. What the Jupyter Notebook allows you to do is to take Python code, write it alongside equations of motion, figures, everything in the same kind of document. So I probably can just show you guys one of those. Might work. Drag this over, maybe. There's our website. There's already a number of these posted down here. So, for example, this is a Jupyter Notebook. If we can get it to load. When you start it up, it actually opens in your web browser. You write the code right alongside equations of motion, things like that. I think at least a number of you have experience with that. When you're downloading this, make sure you get the Python 3 version, which is the most recent version. So the download page right now looks something like this. It'll know whether you're a Windows, Mac, or if you're a Linux user, and it'll kind of automatically highlight the right one, but double checked. And then you want the Python 3.6 version. Download that, follow the prompts, and you'll be good to go. Okay. We have a repository that hosts all this code on GitHub. It looks like this. It's also a link from our class page. Here, this little symbol is the GitHub symbol. All the simulation code, everything we do simulation-wise, we'll have links here, but you can go there and get directly to all of it as well. And there are ways to just grab that whole repository and sync it as well. We'll also have a couple mini projects, I call them, in this class. So we want to do dynamics, just not just textbook problems, but we'll go down to my lab, look at different pieces of equipment, and be able to write equations and simulate that piece of equipment. So there'll be probably nominally two mini projects throughout the semester as well. So going to be expanding the code base a little bit here. In the repository right now, it's mostly stuff that comes later in the semester, not a whole lot of the kinematics, pure kinematic problems. So I'll be adding those throughout the semester with some help from you guys, probably. Okay. Questions about that so far? Okay. Grading. Homework's 10%. We're going to have a homework approximately biweekly, so something to do every other Friday, typically, Friday by 5 o'clock. I don't take any paper from you guys. I'll ask you to scan into a PDF and send to me. So if you have a smartphone, it's pretty easy to do. That way you can keep your hard copy. I can post solutions pretty soon after the deadline when things are due. You can start comparing things without having to wait for me to get stuff back to you. The homework, lecture and submission, will include some simulation coding as well. So that will tie into the homework. The biggest thing about the homework, especially given this is a graduate course, is it's for your benefit, right? This 10% is basically going to be pass-fail that you did the problems on a problem-by-problem basis. Okay. The other thing I really want to point out the homework, and I'll stress it again later, is this is really an absolute minimum number of problems that you should be solving, right? Particularly in a dynamics class. The more problems you're solving, the better. Okay. So what I'm going to give you is kind of a minimum set of representative problems that I think are kind of important ones that you understand, and you need to work as many as you think you need to really understand and learn the stuff. Right. So I'm not going to force busy work on you guys. Right. You should be focusing on your research, and hopefully this supports whatever research work you're trying to do. Okay. And so there's two exams, as you saw on the schedule. That's going to account for 40% of your grade. They'll be equally weighted. Right. There's going to be nominally two mini projects that'll be 10% each. Those should be an easy 20 points for you as well. And then the final exam is 30%. So a pretty standard breakdown for a graduate level course in terms of, you know, just two midterms. We're not having exams every Friday like Dr. Hibbler does or whatever. Questions about? Okay. So some general rules of advice. I think this is especially true for graduate students. You guys are responsible for your own learning. I can't learn stuff for you. I'm here to help you learn. All right, so if you have questions, ask them. Okay. Particularly in class, come by and see me if you have questions outside of class. Right. It's kind of the thing. If you have the question, it's likely someone else here has that same question. Or even by asking the question, we can get one of your classmates to explain to you, and that helps them as well. And this is something I didn't really figure out until I even got into my PhD. Got good results and good grades because I had a pretty good memory. I could memorize methods and things like that. Didn't really learn how to learn, really internalize information until I studied for my qualifying exam. So I'm going to encourage you guys and try to teach in a way that encourages understanding, not just regurgitation of methods. Okay. Some dynamics specific advice. Kind of touched on this already. I think you guys are going to need to work way more problems than you think you need to work. Okay. Dynamics is one of those subjects that you can know really well and still struggle with modeling a system. Okay. Dynamics is also one of those areas where having the proper insight can change a 10-page problem into a 10-line one. Okay. If you're picking the right frames and the right right references and things like that. Okay. Or use the right method. As a graduate student, you need to know solving the 10-page way is no good. You don't have time to take the long way all the time. Okay. So you need to hold yourself, and we're going to hold ourselves to a higher level. If there's a 10-line way to solve it, we need to understand that. Okay. And that comes from largely just working bunches and bunches of problems. Okay. On the course of doing that, remember that what we're going to be modeling are physical systems. Okay. So you're writing a bunch of equations and a bunch of math. Always have in mind that that math is describing how the system is moving. Right. And try to relate back always that math and the equations you get, equations of motion, to the system you're modeling. That will help you a lot, I think. And also, in the kind of course of tying these two together, I would encourage you to solve the same problem multiple ways. Right? So you solve it the first time through, and you get to the end and get an answer after 10 pages. Well, how could I have done that in 10 lines? If I had used Lagrange's method instead of Newton-Euler, could I have done it in 10 lines instead of 10 pages? If I had chosen a different coordinate system, could I have done it in 10 lines instead of 10 pages? What's the easiest way to solve this problem? Sometimes you don't know until you try to solve it. Do it both ways, just you get the same equations of motion. Right. So I think this all ties back to this, basically, and trying to really understand rather than just knowing one method really well. Okay. Questions about any of that? It's a really quick overview. We'll get to some actual dynamics now. Nothing. Okay. Sure there will be some. Actually, let's see if that Jupyter notebook will load now. Show you that quickly. I'm on the I'm not going to cooperate. That's fine. So actually, I'll point out as well, on the webpage, you'll already notice that you have a homework assignment that's due not this Friday, but the following one. Some pretty simple problems, particle kinematics, to get you kind of back up to speed. There's also a first mini project that's due that same Friday. This first mini project is basically download this Jupyter notebook. There's a handout that explains how to do all that, get everything installed, run the notebook, and basically we'll confirm that you got everything installed correctly. So this is just to kind of make sure we're all have the same kind of baseline configuration, everything's installed. And this guy's, you know, just basically pass-fail that you get it done. If you're having trouble with this, just come see me. We'll get it sorted out. So it's kind of, that's why it's mini project zero. It's just kind of a baseline. Let's get things set up and ready to go for the semester. Okay. The homework also has the submission. So I mentioned electronic submission. There's a paragraph at the end of how to get things submitted and how to name the file and things like that before you send it to me.